Tech Talk with Jeff Quattromani.
Okay, that time of the week where we talk tech with Jeff Quattromani. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Let's talk about AI. The godfather of AI has started speaking out about the dangers of the current trends and is urging the world to pay attention. Now, who's this godfather of AI?
Yeah, it's Dr. Geoffrey Hinton. He actually started OpenAI, which is the company we all talk about with ChatGPT and things like that. But then Google hired him, and he's been working on a lot of projects behind the scenes with Google. I'm guessing some of them have actually scared him a little bit to want to step away from the company. Effectively, what his message has been to us since resigning has been that we're going to get to a point where we won't know whether a photo, a video, or even an article was generated or created by a human being or by a robot in the future. So, you know, when you start to see images online of, I don't know, Donald Trump or whatever it is, do we know that's actually him in that photo, or is it just one that was artificially generated?
I saw something the other day. They talked about AI. For those who don't know, it stands for artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I saw something the other day. It said that in the next 10 to 20 years, artificial intelligence will just become the way of the world. And for us, it will be like a mobile phone is to us these days.
It's so true. I mean, we're all very scared of carrying a mobile phone. Or why would I need to be contacted when I leave home? I've got my landline when I need to make a phone call. Or why would I ever need Facebook? We've always sort of drawn a line in the sand. But, you know, I think with this, yes, there are some risks with its capabilities, but there's also some amazing benefits. And I think that's the part which we'll start to embrace the most. And I think the learning, for example, in schools, I think that's going to be transformed in the biggest way over the coming years.
I hope we in Australia adopt it, particularly in the education side of things, because if we don't, our kids could be left behind.
Absolutely. And it's really going to be about how they use the tools and actually, you know, working with AI rather than being fearful of it taking over our jobs and things like that. Because if you know how to program or you learn about artificial intelligence in school, pretty good chance you'll have a career working in that space.
But with the good comes the bad, and that is the AI. I mean, we've got scams where people are, you know, basically ringing up saying that, you know, send me money, and for all intents and purposes, it is the son, the daughter, the grandson, the granddaughter, and you can't tell the difference. That's just one example.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully we'll even have AI tools that combat with that. You know, that would be the dream, is that you've got these systems to be able to identify each other in some way.
Ecovacs, they're the people that do robot vacuum cleaners, or one of the companies that do robot vacuum cleaners. You can pay for a robot vacuum cleaner over $2,500. They've put out a new one. It's below $1,000, and you say it represents incredible value.
Yeah, it's almost like that Three Bears story. I feel like this one sort of is just right in its positioning. It's $1 less than $1,000, but it does your vacuuming and mopping. It empties itself. And it's got all the features that most people are actually looking for. It's called the D-Bot N10 Plus, and it's just come to market. Yes, it's missing a few features of those $2,500 ones, but to be honest, most people won't miss them.
I was going to ask you,
I think you'll like it.
What are the features that it might be missing from the $2,500 ones?
So while it will empty its own debris and all the crumbs and things like that it picks up, it doesn't empty the water in the mop bucket itself. So if you want to put fresh water in there, you need to do that yourself. It doesn't clean the mopping pads like the top-of-the-range ones do. The top-of-the-range ones actually clean the pads and even warm them up again to get them ready. So there are some of those features in the mopping space missing, but on the vacuum side, it's pretty much the same thing.
It's funny. Dear. Whoever thought we'd be talking about having vacuum cleaners that, you know, you put in a room that, you know, are robots, and they come out whenever you tell them to come out and they vacuum your house for you.
It's fantastic. I mean, you know, we're just talking about artificial intelligence. AI in many forms is built into these things. You know, if my vacuum can identify that I've left a cable or a sock on the floor, and it goes around it, it can see and identify things. That's artificial intelligence. We're living with it. We're actually accepting it already.
Apple and Google have started working together to ensure that these Apple AirTags won't be able to track you without your knowledge. What's an Apple AirTag for people that don't know, Jeff?
Yeah, it's a very small device. It ideally goes onto your keys, and effectively, once it's attached to anything, you'll be able to ring it or easily find it from your smartphone. And if you misplace your keys often, that's why I bring it up. The AirTag is fantastic for tracking items that you've lost. Unfortunately, in the wrong hands, it can mean that I can put one of these AirTags, I don't know, in my wife's handbag, and I could at any point in the day pretty much find out where she is. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, that's causing problems. And Apple and Google are working together on allowing phones to actually give you warnings that an AirTag is present around you, even if it's not actually connected to your phone or not your AirTag. So hopefully, you know, if you are being tracked or stalked in a lot of ways, these tools that they're going to work together on will stop that from happening.
Are you across the gossip that's coming out today that Apple are going to release an even bigger iPhone?
Look, yes, I've heard that rumor. I feel like the Plus version is already big enough, to be honest. They've obviously started to notice those who are getting foldable devices, and there's that extra large phone trend happening. I don't know if Apple will run to that. I think they'll wait. They've got the iPad mini to sort of hit that sweet spot, and then they've obviously got the larger iPhone. So we'll see in September.
I got an email the other day. Someone was telling me that my Prime subscription was going up. You're saying that they raised the price by 42%, but somehow it's still better value than other streaming platforms.
Yeah, so we're going from $6.99 to $9.99. It sounds much more dramatic when I say 42% rather than $3.
It's a big increase in one go.
It is a big increase in one go, and I mean, to Amazon's defense, they'll say that they haven't done a price increase since launching in Australia. So it's their first one, and I think in about 3 years. Even with that said, one of the things I do like about Amazon Prime, at least, is that you get access to music and unlimited shipping and even some ebooks as well. So they do have more than just the video streaming, even though their video streaming catalog is probably, you know, one of the worst against Netflix and Stan and others. So, you know, I recommend to anybody, subscribe to a service. Once you finish watching a show, cancel it. Start another one. You know, just put that money back in your pocket.
How do you do that? How do you cancel? I mean, they seem to make it very difficult for you to do that. It's not easy to do, is it?
It's so true. But one of the things I love is that you can always sign up to a service in 100 different ways. But to actually cancel a service, you usually need to go to the website, log in, find a little section underneath account settings, and then you can choose to cancel or pause it. And I've been pausing a lot of them lately because if I'm not using Netflix, I just pause it, restart it 2 months later, and there is no contract. There's no commitment with these streaming services.
If you want accommodation, there are Booking.com, the WhatIf.coms of the world, all that sort of stuff that will have all these different accommodation places available for you, and you can book directly through them. Is there a similar service for the streaming services so that you can use that service and they maintain what you want and what you don't want, and they cancel the service if you tell them to do it and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like this was scripted. But, it's a good question because it was just thinking about it. Optus have what's called SubHub, and anyone who's an Optus customer can be making use of this. All the streaming services can be plugged into Optus SubHub, and basically from that one account, you can manage, stop, start all of these streaming services that we're talking about, and they'll all appear on your Optus bill as a charge. What's more with that, you'll also get a discount for every service that you add. So I think two streaming services gives you 10% across the board, and then subsequently 5% each one. But Amazon also have what they call channels, and the channels are actually Paramount Plus, Netflix, Stan. So if you're a Prime user, you'll actually see that already in the app, that if you want to watch a show but you don't have a Paramount Plus subscription, you can start one through Amazon, and then you can manage it through Amazon as well. So, yeah, well, there's two.
Thanks, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
See you, Jeff.